This episode was brought to you in collaboration with the Female Founders Initiative, introducing our new monthly series. The Female Founders Initiative supports and empowers female entrepreneurs all over Switzerland through a variety of events, workshops, and activities. They've also compiled a map of all the female-led Swiss startups, which you can check out by visiting female-founders.ch.
You know, you need to start somewhere, and that's the thing. If you never get into the arena or stage or whatever, where it's a little bit scary and you expose yourself, you can never get these like small success moments that then boost your confidence, because confidence, and that's actually a good thing, it can be learned.
Welcome to the Swisspreneur Show, a podcast about startup stories and learnings from experienced entrepreneurs. If you enjoy listening to our show, make sure to follow the podcast and leave a rating. And now, here's your host, Merle.
With that, I would say let's start today here. How are you, Melanie, first before we start? How are you doing?
I'm good. Excited for this conversation. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you so much. And we thought it could be nice as well, before we introduce ourselves a little bit further, to understand who is also in the room. So maybe you could raise your hand if you are an entrepreneur, if you have founded your own business.
Like 50%.
A bit less, like. A third maybe. And who is thinking about founding their own business?
The other half.
It's very exciting. Really cool. Thank you all for coming. And like I said, I think the topic Start Before You're Ready is something, it doesn't matter where you are in your life at the moment, you will come to this situation where you feel like, I'm not ready, but I also kind of just want to start. So I would say we'll dive into that topic. Melanie, maybe also you're not ready for this, but if I would meet you at an event and you have 10 seconds to tell me who you are, what would you say?
10 seconds, that's too short.
One, two, no.
But I can say I'm Melanie, I'm an entrepreneur, and I love bringing people together, and I love creating. I believe we all have the power to create.
Very, very true. And I know that you have very different hats on. I already mentioned coach and lead of the collective and a trainer. What would you say are your current hats? And what is your role? Where do you focus on at the moment with all your different hats?
I think it's a little bit what I said. It's combining the bringing people together, sharing knowledge, creating content, and also kind of classes and courses and workshops, and kind of all with the goal of supporting especially women to grow their business. And I think there's a lot behind it in terms of also putting yourself out there with your idea, and it's also a lot to do with confidence, what we heard earlier in Leah's session. So yeah,
super cool. What did you actually do before you started your first company?
I mean, I started my first startup project right out of university, which so I studied, and then I had kind of the first startup project right out of university. But then I actually figured I did all the stuff that I wanted to do, and I enjoyed doing in that startup project. But I felt like, in terms of payment, I feel like maybe I need to get a normal job. And then I got a really cool job actually through my network. So I back then did interview series with female entrepreneurs, because we asked ourselves like 10 years ago, where are all the female entrepreneurs in Switzerland? And so we interviewed like 27, and then one of them actually then offered me a job in a digital agency. So I worked with software developers and designers and psychologists to create user-friendly mobile and web apps. And that was really like a new world for me that opened up there.
And then at what point were you like, okay, I'm done being employed in that sense, and I want to start something on my own again?
It's a good question. I don't know whether there was this one moment. I always had this idea. So I actually, when I started at that digital agency, I worked with software developers, and I always found it fascinating, like writing the code and this whole world of tech. And so I did a further study program in human-computer interaction design. So basically, yeah, all the people that I worked with, psychology, computer science, and design. And there I kind of felt the learning experience in terms of computer science, learning to program was very much old school, let's say. So we were kind of copying what the professor was writing. So I felt like there needs to be a different way to teach programming, because I felt it was important to, not everybody needs to become a programmer, but I feel like we need to understand the basics as we are surrounded by so much digital technology, especially. And so that was then the idea for, okay, I want to start a programming school that teaches in a hands-on way. And so I had this idea in my mind, but somehow it's like I felt probably kept talking about it to Rodrigo, my now husband. And at some point he was like, okay, you just need to try it because you're annoying me with all this talk about it. And so he kind of gave me a little bit this kick in the ass, and he offered to build the very first website with that website we launched. Okay. And so, and I felt like, okay, if I don't do it now, when will I do it? Yeah. And if not me, then who? And so I felt like I could always go back. I have the network, and in Switzerland, I think we're pretty fortunate to also get a job again in terms of unemployment rate being pretty low. So I figured I was just going to give it a try. And if it doesn't work out, I, you know, learned a lot, met a lot of interesting people and can go back, get a job.
So you basically started before you actually thought you were ready at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question, right? When are you ever ready?
What does ready even mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you, I mean, when you look back in that to that situation, what were things that were hindering you from, I mean, you said you talked so much about it that at some point he said, oh my God, can you just do it, please? What were the things that were hindering you at that moment?
I really loved my job. It wasn't like kind of a pain in the ass job or something that I wanted to leave. So I loved my job. I also loved working with that team. Yeah. And so I think that was hindering me. I felt like, oh my God, if I leave, and even though I know in the back of my mind, theoretically, I can always get another job. I was like, I'm never going to get as good a job as that one. So that fear of like
losing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is something that everyone can probably relate. I definitely can. These situations where you start to make these pros and cons list of, oh yeah, this would be cool, but then I would lose this and this and this and the team and the work and the flexibility and the income. And it's like all these, I guess also safety, these feelings of feeling safe and being in a comfort zone. But as I don't know if Leah is still here, but in her workshop earlier, she said there's something in between, and that's the magic zone, which I really, really enjoyed when I heard that. So you basically tapped into the magic zone. What would you say, like, maybe are some other things that hinder us when moving forward with these decisions?
So one thing I see in myself a lot, and also I do with my coaches and in the courses I teach, is kind of an assessment that's called positive intelligence, and you identify like saboteurs. And these saboteurs are basically voices in your head, and they're all critical voices. And they may be, so there's different versions of them. Like one of them is called the pleaser. So you're like, oh my God, what are the others going to think? What if I fail? What if they think like, this has been so naive, like she could have, you know, thought of that before. So that's kind of the pleaser in terms of also being afraid of letting other people down, disappointing people. But then is also the perfectionist, which a lot of women tend to be very perfectionistic. We tend to be more perfectionistic than men. Mm-hmm. Also studies show that. And so like wanting to really have this thing perfect before you maybe share it with somebody else. That's for sure also something that hinders. And there's many other like versions of the saboteurs. So some people have like the avoider, like, oh my God, I procrastinating with other things. Others are maybe restless and feel like, oh my God, I have so many ideas. And, you know, maybe the next one is better and has more potential. And so you cannot really decide for one idea and stick with it. Also very... a saboteur I know very well. I have lots of ideas all the time. And I feel like, and so it's called positive intelligence because his theory, it's also a book called by Shorzad Charmin, I think. And basically his concept is you have intelligence, our potential, but we cannot access all of it because of these saboteurs. And so the positive intelligence is that part of your intelligence that you can access. So basically your potential minus the saboteurs, that's the intelligence that you can access. And you can, of course, learn to better handle these voices, calm them down.
Maybe like taking a step back and looking at what they're actually saying and how much of that is actually true. Or are there other voices maybe that are positive that you can balance them out with, basically? Yeah. Talking about balance, what a transition. Where do you think we can find the balance between preparing and actually being ready? Because I always feel like, how much can we actually prepare for something?
That's a really good question. I mean, I know that I tend to start sometimes a bit too early and go into the too cold water without like being a proper swimmer. So, I mean, one story I remember is like they asked me to give a TEDx talk. And I remember like I was like, of course, it was always my dream to give one at some point. But then when they approached me, I was like, oh, like, shit, like, what am I going to talk about? I'm not ready. Like, I don't know what my message is and stuff. And one of the coaches actually that I approached to coach me told me I'm not ready. And I really thought about not doing the TEDx talk. I remember kind of that was really hard. I was really like, am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? And in the end, I thought I'm just going to do it. And I learned so much from the experience by also just going through this process, because you really like learn to figure out what's that idea we're spreading in the spirit of TED that you want to share. And of course, if I'm now asked, I would have a different idea we're spreading, and I learned so much more in the meantime, and it would be a different talk. I hope I'll at some point get a chance again to do another one. But yeah, I'm glad I had this experience. Like it was a lot of also testosterone, like literally going on that stage in front of 500 people, and then knowing that it's not just the 500 people in the room, but it's, you know, it's going to be recorded and out there, and you cannot change it. Like, we can edit the podcast.
But we'll just cut everything.
Yeah. But I heard today also that testosterone is a good thing. It makes you focus, gives you energy. So, I mean, it's also all how you interpret these signals, right? Like, I mean, I could have said beforehand, when you ask me, how are you? I could have said, I'm nervous, which can be true as well. But I said, I'm excited, because I want to interpret that energy as like, yes, I'm excited. So, I forgot really what the actual question was. It was our balance about preparation and being ready. I see that a lot, especially in women, that we want to over-prepare. I mean, I even read this book called The Confidence Code, really good book by two journalists, Katie Kay and Claire Shipman or something like that. And they did so much research why women are just less self-assured than men. And they went to like visit professional women basketball players who you could think like you see them play and they're like so confident. And they talked to like Christine Lagarde, who was head of the IMF and now heads the European Central Bank. And I mean, even she said that she prepares so much more than a man for all the meetings she has, that and I think she's friends with Angela Merkel, and like even they said they prepare so much more just because they're afraid to fail or to seem not prepared. Yeah, I feel like it's good to prepare, but then at some point there comes a point you can never be 100% ready.
Yeah.
thinking of attending Startup Days on May 30th in Bern, we've got good news for you. Swisspreneur will be hosting a founders dinner in downtown Bern just after the event. Expect great food and very interesting people from the Swiss startup ecosystem. Click the link in the show notes to apply for a spot.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to find a balance. Probably it's also good to find out what type of person you are, if you are good with not being fully prepared and just, you know, being in the moment. And I mean, you told me before, it's like, we'll just do it spontaneously. We'll just ring it. And I was like, okay, I can do that. But it depends also, because then sometimes I'm like, I'm the same. And then my coach told me, was like, maybe, you know, next time you could prepare beforehand. It would also calm you down. So now I try to prepare to be calm. Because for me, otherwise I would just go without preparing. I think you need to find out what kind of person you are and what works for you, tools.
Of course, always. I mean, just I'm sharing what works for you, that mine may not work for you, probably, because we're all different. But I think in terms of that, I heard once, it's good, like on the one hand side, there is this scary thing, you know, if you're here on the road, here's the scary thing that actually also you're passionate about and you actually want to do, but it's scary, of course, because it requires going outside of your comfort zone. But then beyond the magic zone, there is really the panic zone. So if you go too much in that like scary thing too fast, or the water is too cold, let's say, and you jump in without preparing at all, you're going to be tense and frozen, right? And on the other hand, there is this thing, there is no challenge, it's easy, it's your comfort zone, it's like maybe a bit boring. And so I think it's a middle ground between these two extremes, so that you can still function and not be, oh my God, this is so scary, and like, but on the other hand, also not too easy. I think it's good to have a challenge. That's also probably why I became an entrepreneur, because I actually like challenges, even though then I'm again like struggling and I'm like, why did I get myself into this? but yeah, I think it's also the challenges that make us grow in the end.
That's for sure. Yeah. So how would you say we can practice to be ready? Basically, probably that goes against what you just said, but I'm sure there are like tips and tricks and tools that we can use when we feel like, okay, I have to do this now. I don't know if I'm ready, but I'll step into this zone of X, Y, Z, and that gives me comfort, and then I can do it.
It's a good question. Like the first answer that comes to my mind is maybe also you can visualize yourself for sure. It's not a practice I do a lot, to be honest, but that can be something to already figure out how you're gonna sit there, stand there, what are you gonna say. And then I think practice is really also about like really practicing getting into the arena, like Brené Brown always talks about getting into the arena. And I think in the end it's being there, like showing up for what you care about, saying what you need to say, and kind of, that's kind of what makes you better. Because, for example, probably a lot of you guys also know Tim Ferriss, and he has like this huge podcast by now, but I think if you listen to his first episode, audio quality was shit. Like, you know, you need to start somewhere. And that's the thing. If you never get into the arena or stage or whatever, where it's a little bit scary and you expose yourself, you can never get these like small success moments that then boost your confidence. Because confidence, and that's actually a good thing, it can be learned. So it's something about really also facing failure. You could fail, right? You could say the wrong thing. Not everybody's going to like you all the time. And so, I think you kind of need to just practice. And in that book that I mentioned, The Confidence Code, they say what you can do, especially for girls, is team sports. Because team sports just teach you to compete and face failure in the sense of like maybe your team loses. And, you know, but it kind of helps you also to shrug it off and then to normalize it and just go out there again and play. And so maybe that's also something, right? Like the intention, how you approach it. Like, is it more something you feel like you need to perform and get it perfect? Or is it more like, oh, okay, let me play, let me experiment. Like how, yeah, how is this going to turn out if I ask myself, can I try it like this? Or, you know, like approach it more with a playful attitude.
Yeah, and I think even if you like think a bit further ahead with team sports, then they will look at it. What happened? What was the tactic of the other team? What can we do better? Where did we do like some minor faults that had a big impact? That's actually a really good comparison or analogy to like think about the things that you did and where you think like, oh God, I totally failed. But then just look at it and it's like, okay, what, where did I actually fail? And did I actually fail? Or what can I learn from this? I think that's a really good metaphor.
Yeah, and team sport is also hard. Or general sport is also hard, right? You're building a muscle and you expect to have sore muscles the next day when you went to the gym, right? And so, I mean, also, I think building a company, it's not a walk in the park. And often I need to remind myself of that because then I struggle and I'm like, shit, this is so hard. You know, why did I think I can do this? But then if you think of it like if you want to climb Mount Everest, which I mean, I'm not a mountaineer, but if you think you would want to do that, then like, of course, you get yourself some preparation. You get, you know, some, some time to get used to the different altitudes and stuff. So you go first to base camp and stuff. So you prepare. And so I feel like with entrepreneurship, often we feel like we just don't need to risk it all and go all in and just, you know, fail fast and all that stuff that they talk about. But yeah, I think it's also about taking calculated risk and get yourself the support that you need and setting the right expectations. So not thinking like, oh, this is going to be easy, because when you think it's going to be easy and then you struggle, you feel like probably, oh, I am not good enough for this. But it's just normal to struggle. And I think another great writer that I love, Glennon Doyle, actually says this. So this is hard, but we can do hard things. And so I think it's important to then not give up, because I think often when it gets hard, we feel like, oh my God, I am not made for this. And so then a lot of people tend to give up. And so, yeah, I think it's also another one of Brené Brown that she says, like, normalize it, like, figure out, okay, why am I? So it's just struggling. It's maybe fear. It's normal. Name it. Okay, here's fear. That's okay. Others experience it too. And it's just going to be temporary. It's going to suck for a while. I think she calls it fucking first times. Yeah, it's just a thing we have to go through, I think.
Yeah. On that note, we will link all the thousands of books that Melanie just mentioned in the show notes of the podcast. So you can click on them. No, but I totally agree. I think that's very true. I love also we have it with sports today, apparently. I like the gym analogy also, because the next day you was like, oh my God, my muscles are sore. And I feel pretty good about it. Oh. And it's like, right? So it's like, yeah, I did something. So that's also like, I mean, you can reflect that on the things that you do and where you think, yes, I worked hard and I can feel it, but it also means that I'm growing. So it's,
yeah.
Maybe we should write a book about just analogies of things that we come up with.
Yeah, connecting all the dots. Like. Yes.
Talking about challenges, what can you give an example? I mean, you talked about the TED Talk, for example, but do you have an example where you had a really big challenge that you had to overcome as an entrepreneur, and how did you do it?
I was thinking probably also, you know, I did that coding company, but then I decided that's not what I want to continue doing, and I decided to let it go. Which was also really hard because I had a team, I had made a name around it, I saw a lot of potential, I haven't reached all the goals yet that I imagined to be doing or reaching. And so that was kind of hard in a way, even though I knew it was the right decision to let it go. It hurt because I kind of invested so much energy and passion in it. And so that, but then also starting something new again, but not yet knowing what it is. And this time it was much more than, because the other one was more like, I was kind of the managing director and I had a team and they were teaching and I could hide a little bit behind the brand. And then now the second journey is more like, okay, I'm putting myself out there and I'm teaching and coaching and it's me. So I'm bringing delivering the value. I'm not just like marketing and selling the courses and kind of letting the team deliver them. It's kind of me. And so that was definitely also very scary to be like a very different thing of putting yourself out there. And that's also what I hear a lot from like women that worked for really cool brands and then want to do their own thing. It's hard to then be like, okay, now it's me kind of that they hire and pay to deliver the service. And it's like, oh my God, you know, it's you can't brand. Hide behind the, a certain brand. Mm. So that definitely was a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, you go out with your own brand and that like yourself as a person is the brand.
Yeah.
Which I think personal branding is, I mean, such a challenge. Going out there and be like, I am awesome. You should hire me.
And now believe it.
And now believe it, yes. I'm working on that. I think that was already like a really good advice. And before we also opened for the Q&A, what was maybe some, like what was an advice that you received that was something that you take with you even now and that you want to give to the audience? Maybe also in terms of this topic.
The first one that came to mind is kind of focus, an easy one in terms of, I mean, not easy to do, but like an obvious one, because I feel like it's so easy to get distracted, you know, like as soon as we kind of were on the market, was like, okay, we could go this way or that way or that way. And it's kind of, you know, then you kind of get scattered all over the place. And so you scatter kind of your resources and energy and it's kind of just focus on one thing. But then the second one that came to mind is kind of also listen to your heart, which might sound really cheesy, but I think as an entrepreneur, not just as an entrepreneur in general, you need to take a lot of decisions and you can, as you say, like write the pros and con list and think in your mind for a long time. But then in the end, at some point, you just need to decide. And I think it's also important to listen to your gut feeling or heart or whatever resonates more for you and not just be, okay, this is the sensible choice or what my dad approves of or whatever. But to be like, okay, this is what I really stand for and that matters to me. And then even if that's the scariest thing, like go for it.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's hard to remember that you have a gut feeling because you're so much in your head. And then I think it's really important to take a step back and like really listen inwards what's happening there. Thank you for that advice.
And that is not easy. Sorry, I would just say, I think we're so distracted, you know, like just also with phones and social media all the time. And we get messages all the time in terms of you should do this. This is cool. This is what a fulfilled life looks like. You should, you know, like all these messages all the time. And I think to really figure out what you want, you know, in your you really need time by yourself, maybe also alone. And it's something really I started to cultivate a lot. I mean, a few years ago, I always had this fear of like, oh, I'm going to be lonely. I can't be alone. And now I love like just being by myself. I like actually went on a vacation just for a week by myself. Like, and I loved it. But it's, you know, but then also there I need to be like, okay, putting my phone away, like also my phone in the morning, like I don't look at it until I did my routine. And then probably like 10 or 11 or whatever, I take out flight mode. And so it's just, I think it's a practice really, because we get so influenced. There is so much noise, so much distraction, other opinions, that it's hard to hear that whisper of the heart. And so I think a lot of people don't do what they actually would love to do because they don't know what they would love to do. And so, making space, which is kind of my intention for the year, or the word of the year is space. So I think you also need to make space for yourself and your ideas and your dreams to then be able to go out and make it happen.
Yeah. I found, last week, I think, I found this piece of paper in my bag, super random, and I wrote some stuff on it that I probably heard somewhere. And one of it was, saying no is sometimes saying yes to yourself. And I was like, oh, this is so smart. Who said that? I love that I wrote it down, but I don't know who said it. But it's really resonating with me. So I thought, yeah, talking about space as well. Like sometimes you have to actively be like, no, so I can concentrate on myself.
Yeah, and saying no again is so hard. I think especially for women, like we want to please others, have others be happy and say like, no, I need my space. Like, yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. Definitely isn't. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you, Melanie, for taking time.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, you can support us by rating our show on Apple Podcasts. This way, we can reach an ever-growing number of aspiring entrepreneurs.